Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with his dear pal, Dave Damashek, on a Wednesday morning. And check, I'm excited to say, the guest we have on today is the biggest we've ever had. The biggest guest in Extra Points Podcast history. Definitely literally, maybe figuratively. David Baker, the Hall of Fame guy, the guy that tells the players, the superstars, that they're in. Who better to tell you this guy? He's a hulking figure, and he's going to come on Zoom and talk to us. I'm pumped for this.
Yeah, well-timed, obviously, with the Canton festivities about to get going here. Well, Kibitz about not one, but two Hall of Fame classes getting presented. It's very exciting stuff. And yet, I feel bad about it. I feel like a creep, but I got to take you to task, Sal. I don't understand what kind of ship you're running over here now. Mm-hmm. I listen to Against All Odds, of course, faithfully. It's a great insight on the best bets to make on a daily basis. But, you know, your pal there, who's a lovely fella and everything, Parlay Kid, shoots his mouth off prior to the NBA draft, and he says, If Jalen Suggs isn't one of the top five picks, I'll never gamble again. Well, right. Jalen Suggs wasn't one of the top five picks, and here he is still making bets all over Vegas, now back from Vegas, still betting, right. Shooting his mouth off. What the hell? What are you doing?
You're right.
Penalize him.
You're not wrong. I got to say, I got lost in the shuffle. You know, we had the big party. We had the big come down when we got back. And I forgot we need to penalize. It's like, there was so much other news that it went to the back burner. I don't know. It was like Paula Poundstone when she settled out of court on September 12th, 2001. There was so much going on. That's what happened with the Parlay Kid. He got swept up in the news cycle. But you're right. I think tomorrow we will have some kind of punishment. You're right.
Sweet kid. Nice fella. All that. But, you know, rules are rules. And you don't get to shoot your mouth off about what you're not going to do or what you are going to do if this or that happens, and then not have to meet the standard that you laid out for the rest of the world.
You're not wrong. What are we doing? You're not wrong. He said Jalen Suggs would be drafted in the top four, and if not, he would never bet again. Yes. But, I don't know. Joel, what do you think? Should there be a punishment? Babyface Solomon, weigh in here.
I mean, hasn't he suffered enough? He had to see Harry at the pool all weekend with his shirt off. And
yeah, that's true. But we all did, and none of us made that proclamation. All right, we'll figure that out. Yes, tomorrow we're going over beloved AFC North, so that's going to be interesting. But like I said, today, David Baker, the big guy, is coming on in just a few minutes. I guess we should talk about this game. We'll get to the basketball free agency, some ridiculous contracts out there. The Lakers signed Carmelo Anthony. The Knicks went full-on New England Patriots. Kemba Walker is now a member of the team. That's a decent lineup all of a sudden. Kemba, Fournier, JT Barrett, Rose, Randall, right? Or I guess Mitchell Robinson starts. Rose off the bench. That's pretty good. But the Nets are laughing, right? That's like the little brother bringing home a third-place medal in Pony League, Little League, right? I don't know what this shapes up, but it
kind of picks up where we left off with the conversation in the regular season with the Nets. I became a convert that they're definitely going to win, and all the standard rules of pro basketball are out the window if you have three of the top 25 scorers in NBA history. And yet their deficiency was clear going into the free agency, which is, how about you get some guys who can play up front a little bit? How about that? Blake Griffin, you know, used up Blake Griffin ain't sufficient. And it feels like they failed in that. All they had to do was add a big and everybody would make them their bet. Now I think I know all the jokes about how old the Lakers are, but, you know, Lakers are the bet, aren't they?
Boy, you can't even get them at 4-1 anymore. They're plus 370. The Nets are plus 220. I mentioned the Knicks. Let's see. Their number has not moved. It is 100-1. So to win the NBA championship. Very early to be talking about this. But yes, less than 4-1 with Carmelo. They are pretty old. Westbrook's not 30. I don't look at Westbrook as 32. He's got so much energy. Triple-double, or it's very close every single night. So I still think they're a little bit of a shooter away, but it's an interesting team for sure. God bless Carmelo and LeBron finally together. Very exciting.
I couldn't be happier for the two. God bless them both. Amen, Sal. But yeah, that's nice. Good for you know, they're going to win a title together, so that'll be good. And Russell Westbrook too. And as I say every time, the subject is Russell Westbrook or Derrick Rose. And since they're both in the news, good for both of them, because the assumption was at least a half a decade ago was that they would both be long gone by now, given their style of play, their willowy figures. Maybe this is good news for Lamar Jackson enthusiasts too. If those guys could survive on their spindly legs playing the aggressive ball they did, maybe, you know, brighter days ahead for Lamar Jackson. I don't happen to think so as you go into your AFC North with your pals. We did it yesterday on -3 with Jeff Schwartz. Go listen to that. He had many interesting thoughts about AFC North teams.
You should listen to that. Yeah, Lamar Jackson, maybe his best bet is becoming a goofy white sharpshooter, because, you know, people get mad at the ridiculous contracts and... I mean, these guys hit the lottery. Doug McDermott, 3 years, $42 million. He's a bench player for the Pacers. Now he's on the Spurs. His shooting percentage actually went down from 2 years ago to last year. Duncan Robinson. I lost on every player prop on him in the playoffs. I pick his bad games every single time. 5 years, $90 million. He's 27 years old. His numbers went down. Percentage-wise, and it also bothers me, Sheck, that a guy named Duncan Robinson won't just give it up and play for free for the San Antonio Spurs. His name is Duncan Robinson, for God's sakes. But so true. It just shows you, I don't even, those might not be, there are guys averaging 4 points a game getting, you know, $15, $20 million. But those guys jump out at me because they're just pure shooters. They don't play defense. They don't do anything, none of the little stuff that's required to make an NBA team great. But...
Remember, I can dig up the articles if you don't believe me. We'll search the internet all the way over. But remember 10 or so years ago that all the basketball experts lamented nobody knows how to shoot anymore. Nobody can shoot in the 21st century, even the best players. Nobody can shoot anymore. And the whole league is predicated now on perimeter shooters. I guess that's the influence of one guy in Steph Curry, and that swings the way the next decade or 15 years worth of players kind of look. But do you remember that? That was a big thing. Like,
was
that,
it 10 years ago?
Maybe 15. But that was a real thing. Like, there are no shooters left in basketball. These kids, none of them know how to play fundamental ball anymore.
Right. Everybody gets paid now. It's unbelievable. I get it. There's five starters, whereas in football, there's 53 on the roster, 22 starters. So the numbers are going to be way out of whack for basketball. But Doug McDermott, Duncan Robinson, come on. Anyway,
these are people who make more money than Sidney Crosby is a good yardstick. I get it as
they
well.
Should.
That
they should.
I get it as well. I mean, that's unnecessary. But okay. Well,
let's move to your other Pittsburgh team. 1.5 point favorite tomorrow night in the Hall of Fame game. And like I said, we're going to have David Baker on. He's going to talk all about this. Steelers -1.5 over the Cowboys. 32.5 is the over under. Is this for America's team? Maybe we ask David. I like a teaser. Cowboys +7.5 over 26.5. Maybe I'll put, 25, 30. Maybe we should bet straight up, Dave. We should have some kind of bet on this, right?
I don't. All right, fine. What bet do you want to make on the on the most meaningless of all meaningless August ball games?
It's for America's team. That's what it is. That's what the
game is for. Listen, I understand what we're trying to do here, but also I have to live by a code, Sal. And I decreed on our last show, as I do every year at the start of August. August football is meaningless. It's a lie for your eyes. It's a Civil War reenactment. Now you're asking me to bet on the Civil War reenactment? If the Steelers, I'm already upset about this game. What I want to bet on is, or what I'm rooting for is no injuries, like any other fan should be rooting. No injuries. That's what I want out of this game. Najee Harris should not be anywhere near the football field. He should be in street clothes, and maybe he shouldn't even be allowed in the stadium. Because I don't want anything bad happening.
I was surprised to see the starters seem to be in for a little bit at least, right, for this? And they never played the first game, did they? You'd see them in the third preseason game. I know there's
one series.
Now.
Sometimes you would see
in
one
the first
series.
One? Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But here's some interesting numbers. I laughed when I saw this because I know they're not counting the preseason game. But the Steelers are 4-1-1 against the spread in their last six Thursday games. The Cowboys are 4-11 against the spread in the last 15 Thursday games. I don't care.
I do think, can I say something despite all the cynicism I just spewed there? Mm-hmm. I do think, off the top of my head, and I have no numbers like you to back this up, but it does seem to me that if you're the sort of coach who's like, a win is a win. Like, did you watch the 400-meter hurdles?
Yes, I did see it. Yeah.
A couple of days. The guy who won it, I'm trying to think of what land he was from. Denmark? It was somewhere strange.
I think it was a land. It was a sea. It was in the ocean, but yeah.
Oh, it was Atlantis. Uh-huh. Either way, so this guy beats the American guy, and they're like, in the semifinals, they're like, he is one of those guys who has the mentality, win every time. Whatever you're doing, you got to win. It's always important to win. Whereas the American was like, he's gamesmanship. He's going to hold something back, leave a little something in the tank, an extra gear for the finals. And if you're the sort of coach who has that mentality, and plenty of pro football coaches present that way, like, it's always important to win no matter what you're doing, tiddlywinks mm-hmm. or otherwise, then that probably leads to you trying to win in the late fourth quarter of a meaningless sure. August football game. And so that there must be head coaches who have really good August records, right? Like who have that mentality.
Yeah, I think John Harbaugh was one of them, right? I want to look at it, but he had a couple stretches where he was like 4-0 and 3-1 in preseason games. But maybe I'm thinking of 7 or 8 years. Look, I know they're meaningless, but what else do we have? What would you want to bet on the Orioles Yankees part 17? Do you want to? But try to figure out some of these Olympic events. Good luck finding out what time they start. Or if you,
I don't want to poop on your parade. Let's fine. Let's bet on it. What do you want to bet?
We got to figure it out. Maybe we'll have David Baker. Sorry, decide. That's what it's going to be. But Cowboys win 23-13. Gilbert, DiNucci, Rush, put a hurting on your steel curtain.
Oh, that's that was going to be my next question. It's an answer I should have myself. I don't know who the Cowboys backup is. You would think a relatively significant.
It looks like it's Garrett Gilbert starting things off, or what? I don't know. I read conflicting reports that Dak shouldn't play. He can't be playing. He's not playing in this one. But it's gonna be fun.
Dak Prescott on the field in
can't do it.
By the way, have you made the trip to Canton before David Baker joins us?
I have not. I haven't. I have to do it already, right? You've done it a bunch of times?
Yes, I've done it a bunch. It's great. It's it's what's striking about it is that it's Canton, Ohio, whatever, an hour or so south of Cleveland. And as mm-hmm. I always point out, the frustrating, ironic sorrow that it must cost Cleveland Browns fans to be so close to the Hall of Fame and have so few of their favorite people in it. And when they go there, though, they do have to see so many of their arch nemesis, the Pittsburgh Steelers, in there. And once again, Canton will be flooded with black and gold as Troy Polamalu gets in, Bill Nunn. It's going to be quite a celebration. Bill Cowher, obviously. Boy, it's going to be lousy with terrible towels, that Canton place. But they're so sincere. From citizen up to David Baker, it really is borderline sacred stuff. Mm. I once stood backstage during the presentation as they were going out to make their speeches, and they all like knock around back there. It's like a green room, really? And so I was at the Hall of Fame, and I had a white glove. They make you can't touch anything at the Hall of Fame without wearing white gloves, and I got an awesome all-time tour. Like, I saw the bowels of...
Wait a minute. What do you mean that you can't touch anything without a white glove? Like, regular people go through, you have to wear white gloves?
Well, they have all these... They have, like, here's the Jaguars' original helmet design, and of course, I swooned for that kind of stuff, and I'm like, can I touch it? And they're like, no, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Got to have white gloves on. So they gave me white gloves. And so I still had the white gloves on, and I'm talking to Joe Namath and Mean Joe Green and Steve Largent and otherwise. And I was like, let's forget the Hall of Fame. This is the hand of fame. And so I had them signing my white glove hand. I now have, maybe ask Paul LaDuca or I'm going to turn to you. How much is the white glove that has the actual signatures of Joe Namath, Mean Joe Green, John Randall, Largent, like I say, Carl Reller on down. And it's all on this stupid white glove that I have.
How do you sign a glove? That must look terrible.
I don't know, but Mean Joe was like, Mean Joe said to me, sign what now? And then Mean Joe signed it. And then I told Namath, that Mean Joe had signed. He's like, I don't usually hold hands with another man, but if you got Mean Joe to do it, I suppose I have to. And it's me, really he's good, signing my
really
hand.
Good Josh
anyway.
Gardner. That's a really good Josh Gardner impression. Wow. I would love to go through it. I don't know if the white gloves would help. I could pick my nose with a white glove like nobody else. So they better watch out for that. But we have them.
Maybe
right
we
here.
Could give it to David Baker and he could put it in the Hall of Fame and it could be an exhibit.
Let's ask him right now. All right, here he is, Shaq, a bigger-than-life individual whose presence elicits the biggest smiles out of NFL superstars. He's the president and CEO of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, David Baker. What's going on, David? Thanks for coming on.
Sal, good to be on with you and Dave. We are about to get ready for the first full stadium for football in 18 months.
How exciting.
Absolutely the most incredible enshrinement ever.
Yes, it's not one class, but two are being
enshrined. Quite the fun in 21. Yeah, we're going to have something special. It's 28 enshrinees. Last year was going to be the centennial enshrinement, where we had 20 enshrinees for the class of 2020. But you add that to this incredible class with Peyton Manning and the class of 21, it is spectacular. It's going to be an incredible weekend. We think it's one of the greatest gatherings in football ever.
I think you're right. Yeah. Dave was just telling me about the white glove treatment, where you have to go through with the white glove. Is that, yeah. that still stands, huh?
Well, we are a certified archival research institution by the American Alliance of Museums. And when we get these artifacts, we take care of them for all time. So he was probably talking about getting the ball that Drew Brees used to break the all-time touchdown record. We have 6 million pictures, 40 million documents, and a whole lot of artifacts that have made up this history of this great game that we all love.
Boy, oh boy, I really do admire how sincere you are. You really kind of set the tone for how much you love football, and that comes clear to anybody who ever enters the hallways that are presented behind you there. Do people, though... Is it kind of like being a doctor? Like, oh, you're a doctor? Will you look at this at my elbow and see what... Does everybody everywhere you go just bend your ear about, like, how come blank isn't in the Hall of Fame? What can you do about that as though you're in charge of allowing who goes and who doesn't?
Oh, there's a lot of guys that get talked about. For many years, it was Jerry Kramer. Why isn't Jerry Kramer in the Hall of Fame? But it is a difficult process, David. It is not the Hall of Very, Very Good. It's the Hall of Fame, and it should be tough to make this. And we've got 48 elite selectors like Peter King from Sports Illustrated or Sal Palantonio from ESPN. A lot of guys who take this very seriously, and they work all year round on this. And in the day we make the selection, you kind of got to be 6'9", 400 pounds to run this meeting. I don't vote, but guys are passionate, and you want to get the best out of them. And so it's very serious kind of stuff. But if you're asking me if it's hard, no, this is the best job in the world. I can't believe that they're paying me for it. To give out a gold jacket on Friday night like we will, to knock on the door and let them know that they're going in the Hall of Fame, to give them the ring of excellence in their stadium in front of their fans. I mean, this is better than being Ed McMahon and the Publishers Clearing Steakhouse.
I was thinking about it too. And yes, I think you have a little immunity there because people could blame, the players can blame the Peter Kings and the Sal Palantonios, not you. You only deliver good news. I don't know how that you got, I mean, I know how you got this job. I saw your bio and you're deserving to do a great job at it. But I didn't see it on LinkedIn. It's a great, I mean, people, I'm trying to think of who people are more excited to see than you. Maybe the pizza delivery guy in general, but it's you. You come to the door, you tell people that they are in. That is the pinnacle of their career. They made it to the Hall of Fame, and you are the face. You are the voice that lets them know. I just think you could have a little more fun with it. Have you thought about doing it reality show style where... I don't know, maybe there's a little small talk in between. You're asking them about their finances, and then you pretend to leave. You go down the drive, and they're halfway down the drive like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're in the Hall of Fame. Could you cut it up?
I'll tell you, this year we got on a jet, and we had to do eight different Hall of Famers, and we did it in about 3.5 days. Mm-hmm. So we went to Mile High Stadium to give the news to Peyton Manning. Now, Peyton knew he was going to be in the Hall of Fame. I knew he was going to be in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. It took about 10 seconds for him to get in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But through the help of his wife, Ashley, and a couple of other close friends, we were able to secure his youth football coaches on the Videotron, his high school football coaches. coaches, his college coaches, his every one of his pro coaches. And, you know, when you share with a guy like that at that moment, you're going to Canton. Thanks for all you've done for the game and all you're going to do for the game. And we're going to guard your legacy forever. I'll tell you, the guy you're talking to is not that 45-year-old polished marketing veteran of the NFL that, you know, Peyton clearly is. You're talking to the 8-year-old kid or the 10-year-old kid that started that journey. And I've done this about 80 times with guys.
Yeah.
And when you knock on their door, the most dominant feeling that I get from this is humility. They know the shoulders of all the guys that they stand upon to get there. And they're not thinking about how much money they make. They're thinking about their mom that drove them to practice when they're 8 years old, or their dad that wouldn't let them quit, or their coach that inspired them to be more. And it's a spectacular moment that we've tried to structure, not for me to do anything, but for all the fans to see how important that journey is to them. Mm-hmm. But a byproduct of it is now when I drive through and order my food at Burger King, the lady at the window sees me and goes, am I going to the Hall of Fame? So there's a lot of fun with it too.
I do think there's a Hall of Fame for every Burger King employee, but maybe it's not in Canton. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Who do you, by the way, I see you wear a beige jacket. I feel like this is a statement. Like, I'm close to the gold jacket, but not quite as shiny and bright as a gold one. We do need to rectify that. I think any football fan who just heard what you said feels like you're probably too modest, but we would need a lot of cloth to make it. But we need to get David Baker a gold jacket already. In the meantime, in a bust too, who is your personal favorite bust to look at? Who do you think looks the most like the person it's meant to represent? And which bust do you think does the worst job of representing the individual?
I will tell you, Dave, frequently I'm here at 11 o'clock, especially this time of year. And I leave and I go by the gallery. And it's one of those things where you want to go in there and find out if, you know, John Madden's enshrinement speech that, you know, late at night when the janitor's gone and they turn out the lights, that those bronze busts really do talk to each other. But there's times that I've gone in there and it is, it's like being in the Sistine Chapel. Does that make you feel closer to God? Hmm. These are special guys. And by the way, during enshrinement, we will do our best to have all of our docents and volunteers keep the line moving. But sometimes the line to go through that museum with the bronze bust is 2 hours long, and people will wait in line, believe it or not, to do it. But wow. I think there's a lot of fun ones. I mean, Ed Reed has the most hair until we put Troy Polamalu's in
right there.
But there are so many, you know, Michael Strahan's gap in the teeth. I just did Good Morning Good Morning America. You know, they were talking about the gap in the teeth for his deal. But what we tell guys, we get started on the bronze bust. It's done by a nationally renowned artist that oversees a team, Blair Buswell. And we get started on it literally the day after they're selected, the day afterwards. And it takes until the enshrinement where they unveil it for the first time and see it. But it's important because I'm told it's going to last for 40,000 years. So they need to get it right.
The other thing is, you have to anticipate what a Tom Brady is going to look like. I mean, he could go through many, many plastic surgery procedures between now and when he's elected, right, or inducted.
And he may retire when he's 80 or 90. Yeah, right. And so we've got a long period to wait and get ready for it. But he certainly, it won't take long for Tom Brady to get into the Hall of Fame. But what I found, guys, is that when we promise these guys that they're going to guard their legacy forever, you know, it's important to them. Time has a way of making us forget. And one of the things we've done here with our archives, we have an archive for not just our Hall of Famers, but for every player that ever played the game. Mm-hmm. If you played a week in the NFL, we have an archive for you there. Wow. And there's some wonderful, wonderful stories here. Really special things for the game of football. Football is a game where every player needs every teammate on every play just to survive. And I know you're Steelers and Cowboy fans, so this is a big week for you. Thursday night will be a great game. But, there's so many metaphors in football to life. There's so many lessons that you learn and virtues and values that you learn from it. And it's a wonderful metaphor for life on how to go forward, especially, you know, in the pandemic. When the league was formed in 1920, September 17th, at a car dealership downtown owned by a guy named Ralph Hay, who owned the Canton Bulldogs. That's why the Pro Football Hall of Fame is here in Canton, because of that meeting. And there were 10 teams that started it. They added four to it a couple weeks later, and those 14 teams became what is now the National Football League. But what's interesting is they started that league in the immediate aftermath of the 1918 and 1919 Spanish flu pandemic. Hmm. And here we are 101 years later, and we're going through it again.
And who better than the Cowboys and Steelers, the greatest non-divisional head-to-head in pro football history? I think we can probably agree on that. But you mentioned Canton and the reasons behind it. And by the way, Sal, this would be the all-time trivia test, would be to go against David Baker. Pro football history would be a lot of fun.
Part of it, yeah.
Any thoughts to, I mean, like, as a man of justice, as you clearly are, in celebrating the best of pro football, maybe you could uproot all of the Hall of Fame and just move it to Pittsburgh. I mean, the banks of the Three Rivers. All the quarterbacks in there, David, are from Pittsburgh. You know that. You know Montana and Namath.
I will say this, Dave. You know, there's been many enshrinements where we had two players from the same team. This weekend, we've got five. Count them, five from Pittsburgh.
It's going to be great.
You know, we've got Bill Cowher, Bill Nunn, Donnie Shell, Troy Polamalu, and Alan Faneca. We've also, by the way, we've got three from the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. So that would have been the record before. But I'll tell you, Dave, one interesting piece. We listen to all the enshrinements here, and we transcribe everything. But one of my favorites is actually from Art Rooney, Art Sr., the chief. And he said in his enshrinement speech, he said he hated losing. And he sure as hell hated losing money. But heck, he said, I'd do it all over again. Matter of fact, I'd pay to lose that money all over again because I love this game that much. Mm. And I think that love of the game is something that's been instilled there in Pittsburgh and made it, you know, this dynasty that it continues to be today.
And yet, David, the Cowboys are still America's team, and they're going to prove that again tomorrow night when they defeat the Steelers 23-13. You agree?
Well, you know what? I'm a big Jerry Jones fan, you know, and, you know, I think he's done a lot for the game. He's one of our greatest Hall of Famers, and they've had a lot of them. I mean, how can you not be against the Cowboys? Right. But I want you to know how much I love you guys, Cousin Sal and Dave, because I'm here talking to you instead of giving the speech I was supposed to give to the 38 Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders here, Harry.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
I'm asked on that to be with Cousin Sal and Dave.
I think you've lost your mind. I don't know. I appreciate that, but I worry about you for making that choice. Well, it's really great, Abby. I'm thrilled that you're on. You have the greatest job. Although, you know, I think the players could play a prank on you too. Like someone like Drew Brees, who knows you're coming to knock on his door in 5 years. What would you do? You knock on his door, he opens it up, and he's completely nude. What's your move? What's your next move?
Well, let me say, we had some great experiences. The first time we did this, you know, I called guys because we went late, and we had them all come to New York when the Super Bowl was there, and we were going to announce them on the at Radio City Music Hall on the NFL Honor Show that night. Mm-hmm. And so I called Michael Strahan because we had to get him across town. I called Derek Brooks because he was a friend, and I just wanted to give him good news. My third one was Ray Guy, the punter. Uh-huh. He'd been eligible for 29 years. And I said, Ray, this is Dave Baker. I'm the new president of the hall. And he's from Mississippi with that Southern drawl. He said, yes, sir. And I said, it's my great pleasure. And boom, you could hear him fall to the floor. His phone is rattling around. Wow. His wife is, honey, baby, are you okay? And it's like 2 minutes before he gets up. And I thought, my first Hall of Famer. And he gets up. And finally, he says, hey, I'm sorry. I don't think I understood really until just right now how much this meant to me. And that's when we knew we had to make this available so that fans could see it. So the next year, we're going to knock on the door. We got a camera crew. And I go to Jerome Bettis's door, and I knock, and I knock, and I knock, and the maid comes to the door. And Jerome felt that he was there on time, and he hadn't made it, so he left. Then I went to Tim Brown's room, and they moved Tim Brown to another room. And the guy who came to the door wondered why I had cameras for him. But the third one was Ron Wolf, the great general manager from the Oakland Raiders and from the Green Bay Packers. And Ron, I was relieved, came to the door. His wife was in the background. He had a beautiful coat and tie, was dressed, polished shoes, to go to the honor show just in case. but he didn't want his fans to be wrinkled. And so he took off his pants and he's sitting there in his boxers. He put his pants over a chair not to be wrinkled. So when I knock on the door, he's got a coat, tie, shoes, and boxers on. And I said, Ron, I got good news and bad news. The good news is you're going to Canton. The bad news is you're on national TV right now with no pants. And he said, I don't care. This is great. And he hugged me anyways.
I love that. I love that story. I think you should have penalized Jerome Bettis and made his bust in the form of the housekeeper. It's like, all right, you want to play games? This is what we're going to do.
The guy who opened the door, who you had the wrong room, he must be thrilled with that gold jacket. I mean, he must wear right. that thing out on the town every time he gets invited to a dinner. Like, yeah, I'm in the Hall of Fame, by the way. Do you advocate? I've talked to a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame about that, and I'm almost always disappointed by their answer. If you give me a gold jacket, I'm wearing it out at least once a week. And if I'm a single fella, I wear it out on every date. And when I ask them, they say, oh, no, I keep it under plastic only for special occasions. How say you, David Baker? Give advice to all future Hall of Famers. Shouldn't you wear this thing out on the town?
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's not too many people with a gold jacket. That's for sure.
Right.
There have been 330 million that have played this game, like you guys. Right. There's, you know, women that have played it now as well. There's 5 million that played it in college. There's only 29,000 who've ever been paid to play it, coach it, or officiate it in the National Football League. And right now, today, there's only 335 who ever have a bronze bust here. And our living gold jackets right now today are about 178. Mm. And so that's pretty exclusive company. But I love the line from, you know, one of our great Hall of Famers, Jack Youngblood, who says, he wears his every time to Starbucks because it always gets him at the front of the line.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. I guess they won't misspell your name if you're on the Starbucks cup, if you're wearing a yellow jacket, a gold jacket. Sorry. Wow. No, this is great stuff. Well, you've been terrific. I appreciate you coming on. Please go to those cheerleaders already, but stop wasting time with us and have a great weekend. We really appreciate your presence here.
Hey, guys, we appreciate it. It's great to have fun with you. This is fun. It's great entertainment. But some of the stuff that happens here, we love because it's bigger than football.
Yeah.
You know, we will have those enshrinement speeches that are going to be strictly timed on Saturday and Sunday. But a lot of these guys are media trained because they've talked to guys like you so often. But it's the first time where they're sharing the story of their life.
Yeah.
And how they got here, and the journey that it got them here. And I always think that from them, there's some wonderful lessons for us to learn how to be a better dad, mm-hmm. or better journalist in your case, or a better country, you know, together. And it's a great place to be. Appreciate you guys. Love having fun with you. Love that all you do for the game. Thank you. Take care.
There you go. Thank you, David.
Thank you, David Baker. I hope we'll see Troy Polamalu out there in person, too. We know about the COVID. It sounds like he is going to be out there making his speech, right?
Yeah, we're working on it every day. And if things go well, we think he'll make it. And he might not make it for the entire weekend, but we think he can make it for some of it. And we think that'll be a special moment. But please understand, like I said, his bust is going to last 40,000 years, so we're going to honor him for a long, long time.
That's great. David Baker, guys. Have fun this weekend. Steelers, Cowboys. Thanks again, David.
You're the best. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
What a guy. That was terrific.
Don't you want to run through a wall or something after listening to him talk about football? See, now I feel like we chose the right sport here, Sal, as our favorite sport.
Yeah,
right?
We might have. we could have done a lot worse there. Yeah. You know what? I'm trying to get his voice down because it's so much.
It's very sincere, but it's heavy. Yeah. Is it right?
Zeke Elliott, I want to congratulate you. You're in the Hall of Fame. Crank calls can be back. What a crank anchor's call that would be, right? Pretending to be David Baker.
There you go.
Telling Ezekiel Elliott that he's in the Hall of Fame after his yards per carry went down every year for his last 9 years of his career. That would be terrific.
Now, don't you feel like a jackass, Sal? Like,
yes.
You and me always with the wiseacre business. See, isn't it nice to be earnest and a good and to just like steer everything back? Like, no matter what wise ass stuff we throw at him, he steers it back. But it's about this, it's about the greatness of the men. And
that's why you say you got to go to the Hall of Fame. Like, I almost think I don't belong there. It's a sacred institute.
It is very serious. It's exactly right. Like, I was going to ask, I don't know, cynical or whatever, but the one thing that I don't love with the Hall of Fame is their lack of embrace of USFL guys. For real. I know I'm a weirdo about it, but that's when I grew up. I love the USFL. It's better than all the other bum alternatives to the NFL. Mm-hmm. None of the other ones were as good, and I include the CFL in that in terms of level of player. And the USFL has a bunch of guys, like Jim Kelly got in, Reggie White got in, whatever. But there are guys who would have absolutely made the Hall of Fame had they not spent a year or three toiling. Like Herschel Walker is the best example of that.
Sure. This is obvious, just another push for you to get Donald Trump recognized in higher regard. He would make this Hall of Fame. It's not enough that he was the WWE Hall of Fame, and eventually I think he was president for a term. Did he make a second term? I don't pay attention to that stuff, but there you go again. You and DT. get a room already. I don't know why I had this on the thing, but I wanted to go over the worst record. Who's going to have the worst record this year as far as fan?
You meant with David Baker. No.
He was so good. You're right. So sincere. But, and like you brought this up, at this point in the year, everybody looks great, right? We're talking about the Hall of Fame game. It's fun. We talked to David Baker. But one of these teams is going to have to be the worst, correct? And FanDuel has it listed as the Houston Texans at 2-1. To be the worst. Now, let me see this here. This is in the season specials section under FanDuel. Worst record, Texans 2-1, Lions 4-1, Jets 10-1, Bengals 11-1, Jaguars 13, and the Eagles 15. I'm going to go Jaguars here. I know I crapped on them.
That's crazy.
Well, why is it crazy? Why are they 13-1 to the Texans 2-1? They're in that same bad division. What did they do? They're 12-36 over the last 3 years. Their offense was 30th. They scored fewer than 20 points a game. Their defense was 31st. I get it. You have Trevor Lawrence. And are you actually, is it definitive that Trevor Lawrence is going to have a better year than Ty Taylor, who was fine for the Chargers before he got hurt? They have a ways to go, this Jaguars team. Why is there such a discrepancy? 13-1 to 2-1. They play week one. The Jags, I think, are a field goal favorite.
What are you talking about?
In Houston. I get it. What do you mean? Like, what? Why? Go down the roster. Tell me why they're so much better than the Houston Texans.
Well, first of all, I mean, I don't know what Urban Meyer is going to be at the pro level, but certainly he has a higher pedigree than what's his name down there in Houston. And
these college gurus that going to pro that works so well in the past. I don't know. I don't think it's worked to it. But go ahead, keep going.
The pieces on offense, the weapons that Trevor Lawrence has to distribute the ball to are much better than what the Texans have.
Wait a minute. What's much better? There's an all-pro on that team? I know James Robinson. Everyone's excited to have him in fantasy. But really, what?
James Robinson is a good place to start. Okay. Yes,
he hands off to him. All right, good. What else?
Look at the pass catchers. Look at their pass catchers. They're just better than what the Texans are throwing out there at this point.
I'm saying 2-1 versus 13-1. And if Houston upsets them week one, that's not a huge upset. If they pull off the 3-point upset at home, all of a sudden the Jaguars are looking like the worst team. I think there's good value in the Jags at 13-1.
I think you have hype fatigue, and Trevor Lawrence has been hyped for so long. I think that we have forgotten what he is supposed to be. He's not supposed to be like, hey, he's pretty good for a rookie. He projects to be, you know, what Justin Herbert did last year, what Cam Newton did a decade ago, what Andrew Luck did about a decade ago. Mm-hmm. That's what Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be. He's supposed to be a revelation. So, but you know, it's a quarterback league. Pretty simple math. I'm not discouraging you from the better value bet, but for what it's worth, I don't know if you listen to what Jeff Schwartz has to say about pro football. It's dodgy sometimes. But when I floated to him the Titans as the number one seed in the AFC bet, and said this is the bet of the year, as long as you get it at where it is. I, to be honest, didn't check it today to confirm that those numbers still stand.
Go ahead, keep talking. I'll pull it up. Yeah,
he said, "Oh no, the better bet is the Jags to win that division."
Oh,
and
man.
I said, "What are you talking about? The Jacksonville Jaguars to win that division?" And then you think about it, like, I don't know what's going to be with the Colts at this point. Now you're just down to the Titans, unless you really, you know, I mean, the Titans do. They should be a prohibitive favorite in a division that doesn't have other core. But by the way, as another thing with your AFC South, your kind of borderline odd take that this is the worst quartet of starting QBs. I told you I would come up with one. I looked for exactly 90 seconds and immediately came up with one. Yeah. Same division a decade ago was Gabbert for the Jags.
Right.
I'm not going to run through
this. This is going into the season? This was going into the
season? Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and the Curtis Painter year when Peyton was down.
Well, that didn't start the season.
Well, what are you talking about? That's the same thing. It says Carson Wentz is out for the year. That's the same thing. Going into the season, he did. Curtis Painter did start the season.
Okay, so it was those two. All right, so that's a bad one. I mean, this is pretty bad, I'm just saying. I don't know if it's the worst.
I just think you've, like I say, I'm going back to what I said. You have hype fatigue. You've heard Andrew
I just Luck don't think they're building this nausea. Team right. Travis at the end, like, yeah, we get it. All right, you'll throw to the third down back. Like, oh, or, I don't know if that the focus is great. We're going to see in camp, we're going to see the touchdown pass to Tebow or with a long pass. Like, I don't know. This is, you know, you got a ways to go when you're 30th and 31st defensively and offensively and bring in Trevor Lawrence, who didn't stay healthy all of last year, could happen again, and you're right on pace with the time. Okay. I just think the numbers that's are fair. Off. 2-1.
I also think a head coach is a little bit like an NFL head coach, an offensive schemer is a little bit like a young starting pitcher in baseball. Mm-hmm. If you're a phenom, as they always say, your first go around the league, you can overwhelm, but then they watch tape and they catch up to you. I think Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer, with those exciting weapons that they have, those 21st century kind of like hybrid players that they have in Etienne is a great, and Shenault is another great one. Those kinds of guys, like, they might jump the league for half the season. They might surprise teams. And again, they're in a division that has not Carson Wentz, QB, and the Colts and the Texans. I mean, that should be, you know, I'd be surprised if that team doesn't go over their win total. I'll give you the one that immediately jumped to mind. If you're not going to bet the Texans because they're in a division with some teams that they might steal some games from, the Texans might. It's the Detroit Lions.
Well, it's the same kind of thing. That's not a great division either. That's the same kind of thing, isn't it?
Not, what do you mean? Well, I mean, I don't know what's going on with Kirk Cousins and the Kirk Cousins factor, not practicing right now or not with the team. But I think Justin Fields ends up, maybe it'll be a week or two, but eventually Justin Fields will take over there and he will, as I've told you, make a run to the Rookie of the Year, or at least in that conversation. That is a good, talented roster that they have in Chicago. The Packers might be the best team in the conference. And the Vikings have a nice roster with some weird stuff going on with the coaches and with the starting quarterback. That's the X factor for the Lions. I 3 days ago, I would have been much more confident that in the Lions being the worst record, because their QB is Jared Goff and it's an incomplete roster, and their head coach so far has presented like he's a lunatic of a guy, you know.
Well, there's no question it's a rebuilding year for sure. Yeah.
4-1, you can get the Lions in a tough division.
It's not bad. I'm looking. So who they play? I think they play don't they play the AFC North? What am I looking at here? Yeah, they play the AFC North. So that could be three losses. Tough games. And then they play the NFC West. Yeah, that's rough. Yeah, the NFC North could end up with a bunch of like three teams under 500 there.
And let me look it up to confirm, but I think I saw a win total. That might also be the bet. But for the Lions, win total, I think, is 5.5. And if that's the case,
It's five. It's actually five. I don't know if it went down, but let me tell you something.
No, you're right.
Your thing, you had the Titans to have the best record in the league, right? At 17-1.
Correct.
People were fading this pick. Somehow it's 17-1. They're fading. It's 24-1 now.
What the hell? Are you kidding me?
Not just the conference though. The whole,
The whole league. Okay. Well, that's different. I'm picking them to beat. No, I'm talking number one seed in the AFC is what I'm talking about. That's all. I'm not talking about the best record.
Did you see that?
Sure, yeah. The conference, where is that one?
Not conference winner. That's 13-1. That's not what you're talking about.
No. I would not pick them to win the conference. Season that's for sure. Specials. It's there. Trust me on this one. It's there. I tweeted it out.
All right. You should like 24, too, unless you think an NFC team is going to.
I just don't think there are, but I don't see there's not the same bounty of great teams on the NFC side. So, you know, and now what do I talk about all the time? Don't get seduced by the news from training camp. Yeah. Don't listen to it. Plug your ears and go with what you knew. But this Trey Lance,
that's why the Tim Tebow,
the Trey Lance stuff is weird.
From 150 miles away, caught on a helicopter. I don't care. I don't care about it.
I don't care about that, but I do. If Trey Lance gets the gig and all the lies from Kyle Shanahan, we keep being lied to by him. He told us it was going to be Mac Jones and all this jive smokescreen, and we had a hunch it was Trey Lance. Who did tell you it was going to be Trey Lance? It was Dave Dameshek. That's who. And now it's Trey Lance, of course, is more physically gifted than Jimmy G. Jimmy G should be shipped to Indianapolis yesterday, by the way, and then that might shake up the...
We'll see. I don't know what they're doing. They're talking up Jimmy G, too, but maybe it is just for that, too, so you can get good trade value.
Or maybe it's the 21st century advent of, in sub-packages. They're going to throw Trey Lance out there to run some stuff, kind of Taysom Hill style or whatever. Maybe that's what they're going to do with him to split the difference to make Jimmy G not lose any more dignity. Mm-hmm. But you
talked about him going to the Colts, Jimmy G, maybe. But why not Phil Rivers come back? I mean, he's got to be sick of his kids now. He discussed coming back, but not until December. I don't know why, because he's coaching high school football. Who cares? Just Colts could say they made a mistake. Just bring him back in.
All right, quarterback. That's fine. Yeah, it is a weird offer. Like, who are you coming back to? I guess if it's like you need a ringer around Thanksgiving and beyond, then I'll come back. I don't know if it's arrogant or whatever, but actually, Phil Rivers, speaking of Hall of Fame, can work himself into the Hall of Fame by doing exactly what he's suggesting: go into the pen in the ninth to close out the regular season and make a playoff run. If he were to actually walk in the door and do that for whatever team, he would.
That's fun too.
Get to the Hall of Fame.
Good
right?
way to get into Canton. We should have talked to David Baker about that. Right now though, Shaq, FanDuel Sportsbook, I should mention, hooking up new users with an epic Olympic bonus. Just place your first bet on any Olympic sport risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. Get you started. Oh, so many out there. U.S. men's team, what are they? 12.5 over Australia. They'll take on either Slovenia or France. I think that game's at 9:15. We could actually watch it here on the West Coast. I'm all in on the U.S. basketball now. I think they get it done. This is the tell everyone to shut up. It's -320 to win the whole thing. But there's so much more. There's vault. There's soccer. So many races out there. Oh, the girls' volleyball team. Hermosa Beach natives, they're right there in the semifinals. That's going to be fun. Promotions like this, just one of the reasons why I love betting with America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, promo code Extra Points. Go for the gold today. That's promo code Extra Points. What do you think, Chad? We're losing. My big bet was that we have the most gold medals. And there's a lot of controversy as to how, is it arrogant to list us at the top of the standings of medals if we're down 32-25 in golds? But up overall, I say yes because I have the gold. I need the gold. Yeah. We're seven behind. I don't think I'm making this up, making this difference up.
Well, it's an interesting philosophical question. If you were a swimmer, would you want, five golds or would you want 15 total medals? You can only have one or the other.
Well, try to sell them. See what you get more. Melt them all down and see what's worth more. That's one way to go about it.
I'm with you that gold is better than a medal or a medallion like our dealer in 21 the other night, DJ wore. That must be frustrating to see other people. Or is that good? Does that make you feel proud? Like I have a medal just like the Olympic heroes do.
He barely moved. He went like this for an hour and a half. That was it. I don't know, you got a medal.
Yeah, I didn't care for what was going on that night, late night. There were a lot of questions that I had, and most of them went unanswered. But that's in the rearview mirror. I do agree with you. I think that the way this broke, the humiliation of losing to France kind of woke them up a little bit, right? Yeah. I mean, that's I know that's simplistic kind of thinking, but they must be. I mean, then again, they're down 10 to Spain, you know.
Yeah,
they must be like, what in the hell? What, this is ridiculous. Ricky Rubio is in the 30s on us. It's super weird that the way these games break, that these guys aren't good enough to be the primary scorer on their NBA team, but you throw them on their national team. Like, we got no one else who can do it. You better do it, Ricky. And it's like, yeah, as it turns out, if I have a hot hand that night, I can kind of overwhelm my NBA peers. It's very strange, but I'm with you.
I mean, it starts with Popovich, and he just should say, hey, you know how you guys dominate Evan Fournier in the regular season for 5 months? Do that again for the next 2 hours, okay? Just do that. And we should be in good shape. And that's France if they meet them in the finals. But how about our pick of the day?
Okay.
We went 0-2 Monday.
By the way, let's root for Luka. I guess we'd like to give it back to France.
I need another gold. What do you mean?
I know, but I'm just saying to see that matchup would be fun because at least that's legitimate. In the NBA context, it's like at least Luke actually is the primary scorer on his team. Right. So that kind of feels like a challenge. If we go against Fournier again, like what in hell? Come on. We have Kevin Durant just outscored Evan Fournier. What are we doing?
Exactly. Weird. Yeah, so I had the over in that last game, and you had, what did you have? Did you have a baseball pick?
Yeah, and I was wrong, and maybe that's why I brought up the parlay kid at the top of the show, because he went against me. He took the Tribe. I took the Jays. The Tribe won. Oh, they're not the Tribe anymore. I forgot.
No,
can't
come
call
on.
Them that, but whatever they're called. Cleveland.
They're the guards.
The Cleveland traffic people or whatever they're called.
There you go. I'm going to go soccer. This is also late. I think we play Australia in like three different sports, right? Men's basketball. Was it women's basketball? Women's soccer. Under 2.5. Both lost 1-0 in their semifinal match. U.S. women disappointment, of course. These two teams played to a 0-0 draw in the group stage. U.S. has a new goalie now. Adriana French in at goal. I don't know. Rapinoe, Lloyd. They seem down. They seem like they don't even care about this. It's a medal game. But only one of the last five women's bronze medal matches have seen three or more goals. 9 goals total in those five. It's a play it safe game. The colonists win 1-0. Take the under 2.5.
It is funny. It's like an SEC team playing in the Blue Bonnet Bowl. They don't care about it.
Right.
So how impassioned is their effort going to be?
Right.
It's an interesting thing. I'm looking at Harvey V. Tyone, your former Metropolitan, against my former Pittsburgh Pirate. It's the O's and the Yanks, though. The total on this one is 9. I'm inclined to go under on this one because both of those pitchers have outdone their season performance of late. They've been much better, both individually. What's interesting about this one, so I turned to Eddie Spaghetti here. He's had a tough week. A lot of jokes coming out of Vegas at Eddie Spaghetti's.
I think he had a good week. I thought he had a good time. Go
ahead. Well, he did say it was an A+. I did hear. Read that. But nevertheless, I heard some comments at Eddie Spaghetti's expense. Somebody told me that his old hockey segment with Mikey Meatballs should, instead of it being called Spaghetti and Meatballs, should be called Spaghetti and Meatballs and Mikey, which is a dig at Spaghetti, I feel like.
Well, no, it's his size, I'm saying.
Because he's big, right. Yeah, I got the reference. They're calling him Heavy Set. So I turned to Spaghetti. What's better here? Do you like that? Because he is really, although he did miss on his Anthony Rizzo home run pick on Tuesday this week, but his Yanks, nevertheless, a couple of the sluggers that they have did go deep there. They whipped the O's on Tuesday. The O's whipped them on Monday. I don't know, under 9 because of the two pitchers or Yanks giving a run and a half. Eddie Spaghetti, you make my pick today.
Oh.
I'm going to go with the Yankees are going to win this game because I'm going to ride Tayon. He's been really good as of late. He's like one pitcher of the month or something.
So is Harvey, though. So is Harvey.
But I just looking at the lineup, a lot of the Yankees bat pretty well against Harvey. I mean, Harvey's ERA right now is 6.2, less K's than Taillon. Taillon's ERA is about 2 points less. So I'm riding with the Yankees. I would lay whatever the Yankees are giving on FanDuel right now. I think the Yankees are going to win this game.
I ultimately agree with you, but just to make clear, look up what Harvey's done in the last 3 weeks or so. He's been a different guy than what that ERA reflects. Still, though, the Yankees are different what they were.
Well, this is your pick. So what are you going to be arguing? You tell him he can make
the
pick.
I'm just laying it out. I want everybody to have full information, Sal. I'm a pro's pro. Yankees laying the 1.5. I'm with Eddie Spaghetti.
There you go. All right. U.S. women, Australia women's soccer, under 2.5. Yankees, -1.5. Those are our picks of the day. Joel, good point, bad point. What an hour with David Baker. It was a lot of fun.
Incredible guardian of the game. David Baker, good point. Telling you guys thank you for all you do for the game. I mean, that's incredible. He's whether that's Dave, making the case for the Steelers being America's team. I can only think that's what he's talking about. But whatever it is, that's high praise.
Yeah, that's good. All right, well, we'll have to let him know. I'm going to call him back. Tell him we got the good point of the day. What about bad point? Was there even
we did
one?
It, Sal. By the way, we did it, you and me. I think what David Baker was suggesting is that you and I should get Hall of Fame votes going forward.
Yeah, so. I should maybe get like a diarrhea-colored jacket. I think that's okay. That's fair.
Let be me weird.
In. Yeah, well, what's fair is fair. What do you think, Joel? Anything bad?
No, how could I give a bad point? That was a great show. And, Steelers, Cowboys, I think you guys figure out a wager, and we'll go from there.
All right, we'll do that. We have to figure out a punishment for...
Yes, that's the most important thing.
Against all odds, we go over the AFC North tomorrow. Sheck, you're -3. You had a good one yesterday with Jeff Schwartz. You have Hench coming up tomorrow?
Yeah, looking forward to getting Hench's thoughts on all that has transpired over the last week. We'll get you ready for the Hall of Fame game, all that stuff. Looking forward to that. But do go back and listen to Jeff Schwartz, especially if you are an AFC North fan. He really has some really interesting hot takes for you about Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, the Steelers offensive line, and beyond.
All right, there you go. Listen to Card Wars, too. These guys went at it 13 weeks in a row, Caleb versus Paul LaDuca, and it came down, what was it, percentage-wise? I mean, based on... I gave them $10,000 each, and it was like an $800 difference, the finale. Very exciting. Card Wars right there on the Money Grab feed. And just a reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.